We've been looking at the concept of qalb salim, and to recap, the word qalb means something that rotates or turns, and the spiritual heart is that which will only operate if it is able to turn without any hindrance or obstruction, pivoting around the Creator. Salim in relation to the heart is sound or perfect or healthy or an immaculate conscience or content. But I'd like to describe Qalb-e Salim as a heart that is both radiant and transparent. We looked at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he talked about trying to find the heart first, and he mentioned three situations where one would look for one's heart: reciting, when one's reciting the Quran, when seeking knowledge, and reflection in solitude. Today I'd like to look at another hadith, and here Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam has said that indeed the hearts are of four kinds. The first one, he said, is the heart that has both faith and hypocrisy in it. The second one, he says, is the heart that is inverted and upside down. The third, he said, is a heart that has been sealed and is darkened. And finally, the fourth is the heart that is clear and luminous. In other words, a heart that is qalb-e salim. The narrator of this hadith was called Sa'ad, and he said, Yabna Rasulullah, what is meant by al-adhar? And Imam said, it's a heart that has the likeness of a lamp. As for the heart that has been sealed, he said, it is the heart of a hypocrite, a munafiq. The heart that is luminous is that of a believer who is thankful when Allah gives him and is patient when subjected to tribulation. As to the heart that is inverted, he said, that is the heart of someone who associates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart of a polytheist. Then we recited the ayah of Suratul Mulk, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُقِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِ أَحَدًا أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Is he who walks on his face, or in other words, is he who walks prone upon his face better guided, or he who walks upright on a straight path? Imam continued to add, as to the heart wherein there is iman and hypocrisy, faith and hypocrisy, he says this referred to a people who lived in Ta'if. If one of them should die in the state of hypocrisy, he would perish, and should he die in the state of faith or iman, he would attain salvation. Now, there is a lot to reflect on here, absolutely a lot. And to understand anything, if you want to understand qalb-e salim, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, ta'rafu al-ashya bi-ajdadiha, you will only understand something when you look at its opposite. We're going to first look at the other sorts of hearts to be able to understand qalb-e salim totally. But first, just something, a thought that maybe you would like to reflect on. Imagine you're looking through a brochure and you're looking for a heart. We would normally, when we look through a brochure, we'd pick something that we would like, and we would choose according to our inclination, but also according to the resources available. So if you're looking through this brochure, which has pictures in it, would you choose a radiant, transparent heart? Would you choose a sealed, a dark, black one? Would you choose one that was inverted? Or would you choose one that was half darkened and half luminous? Very often we misjudge our resources, and also maybe because the radiant transparent heart can only be seen if we believe in it, maybe we would miss it, maybe we wouldn't even notice that it existed. It's important to think and reflect, just as we talked about in reflection in solitude, as to what we would pick our hearts to be. There's a wonderful anecdote which talks about a beggar who always sat on the same wooden box in the street begging. His classical phrase was, "Can you spare some change?" A passerby once asked him what was in the box, and he said he didn't know because he'd never opened it. Encouraged to open it, he found that it was filled with gold coins. We too have a wealth of divine gifts given to us, sometimes that we're unaware of, to be able to reach our full potential. So it's important to understand that the resources for Qalb-e Saleem are available, but all too often, looking through this catalogue, we pick the wrong sort of heart and aspire towards it, only to find that it leads us to loss. Well, first let's look at the sealed and darkened heart, which is the heart of a hypocrite. And hypocrisy is known as nifaq. There was a time in Medina when the Muslims were very successful, and some of the companions were once sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said to them, "I fear for you." He said, "I fear that hypocrisy will enter your hearts." And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, now? We pray, we fast, we fulfill our wajibats, and you still fear for us?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that hypocrisy or nifaq can enter the human heart like a black ant on a black rock on a black night. To fully understand the traits of hypocrisy, let's look at Suratul Munafiqun. This is Surah number 63, and the surah itself is entitled the Surah of the Hypocrites. As is customary, let's first look at the benefits of studying this surah. It is recommended to be recited on Friday. We're told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the recitation keeps us under the protection of Allah from shaitan. If you recite it on water, inshallah, it will cure pains and aches in the joints. It also gives freedom from hypocrisy and polytheism, from shirk and nifaq. If we look at an overall picture of the surah, it identifies some 10 traits or 10 characteristics of a hypocrite. Let's quickly go over them before we look at the surah. The first thing we see in the surah is that a hypocrite hides behind his or her oath. He or she turns away from the way of Allah. They will believe, then they will disbelieve, believe and then disbelieve. They're neither here nor there. Very image conscious people, always worrying about what other people will say. They like the sound of their own rules, and they ensure in any possible way that they are implemented by others. They think that everyone is against them. They're very arrogant. They don't ever think that they have to ask for forgiveness. They always try to divide people, divide communities, families. They look down upon other mu'mineen. And finally, they only realize their errors at the time of death. Let's go over the surah and look at these 10 attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. It says, O Muhammad, when the hypocrites come to you, they say, "We bear witness that you are most surely the messenger of Allah. And Allah knows that you are most surely his messenger. And Allah bears witness that the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, are surely liars." اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون. They make their oaths a shelter and thus turn away from Allah's way. Surely evil is that which they do. Let's have a look at a little bit of history connected to this ayat. In 5 after Hijra, there was a group of Jews in Medina from the tribe of Bani Musta'liq, whose chief was Harith ibn Zara'. Now this group decided to attack the Muslims and fight against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims won, but some of the Jews, including Abdullah ibn Ubay, accepted Islam without any sincerity. Abdullah was a very powerful man and didn't like the fact that according to the ayah of Quran of Surah Al-Hujurat, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum," the most honored with Allah is the one who is most God-conscious. And he couldn't bear the fact that somebody else was more honored by Allah than himself. And in the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would insult him. Zayd bin Arqan once overheard this and reported it back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who spoke to Abdullah about the incident. Abdullah in turn replied that he was misinterpreted and didn't mean anything by it. It wasn't what was relayed to Rasulullah wasn't what he said. Zayd confronted him, to which he said that it was only meant as a joke. Nawaz Abdullah was a powerful man. Everybody believed him, and Zayd was vilified. And he felt so bad that he confined himself to his house. This ayah was literally revealed to clear Zayd. But history gives us these clear indications of the psyche of a munafiq. And if we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a hadith where he says there are five signs of a munafiq. Five signs. Let's compare it to this incident. He says, when they talk, they lie. You see how Abdullah backtracked. He wouldn't stay with what he said, but he lied. He said, he made an excuse. He said it was heard differently, it wasn't meant in the right way, it was a joke. So when they talk, they lie. The second thing, when they make a promise, they break it. They break trust. The third thing, in a dispute or argument, you will find that they become abusive. The fourth thing is when they are provided with ni'mah, they are reckless. They don't budget. They don't look after it. And fifth, when this ni'mah is withheld from them, they complain. Let's go over this again. And we need to look at our own psyches. Do we lie when we talk? Do we break our promises? Do we become abusive when there's an argument? When we're provided with ni'mah, do we just go wild? Do we just spend, spend, spend? And it's all sorts of ni'mah. When something is withheld from us, do we start complaining? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا فَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. This is because they believe, then they disbelieve. So a seal is set upon their hearts, so they just don't understand. Now, the explanation of this particular ayah is probably more easily understood if we look at Surah Al-Hajj. This is Surah number 22. And if we look at Ayah 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And from people, مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. They are those who are attached to Allah, but they stand on the verge, they're on the fence. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرُ اطْمَعَنَّ بِهِ. If good befalls them, they're satisfied with it. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةُ وَانْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. But if a trial afflicts them, if they're tested, they turn back headlong. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They lose the world as well as the hereafter. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. That is a manifest loss. If we look at it, it's amazing how Allah explains it. That means they only believe when there is some good. As soon as times become difficult, they don't want to believe at all. Let's look at the next trait. Again, very, very clear. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامَهُمْ. When you see them, their persons will please you. وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And if they speak, you will listen to their speech. كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَ. As if they're big pieces of wood clad with garments. يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. They think every cry is against them. هُمُ الْعَدُوُّ فَحَذَرْهُمْ. They are the enemy, therefore beware of them. قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. May Allah destroy them whence they turn back. We can see from this ayah that they're very, very image conscious, persistently obsessed with good opinion of people, regardless of whether Allah may disapprove. They will change according to the situation. The result is an increase of possessions and pride, as well as of self-importance and contempt. They also want to be the center of attention all the time, so they use every possible means to make you listen to them. They may use coercion, they may use authority, they may use gossip, they may act out the drama queen routine, they may whine, they may complain. And you see, the life of one who complains is like a continuous soap opera where something is always happening to them. In essence, complaining is a subtle way of praising oneself. And the third thing we find in this ayah is that they think every cry is against them. That really is a level of arrogance. They think everyone is talking about them, which leads them to believe that they're so important that they should always be the center of attention. This arrogance comes when there's a deep insecurity within the human psyche. Important for us to analyze ourselves when we read these surahs. In Ayah 5, Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. And when it is said to them, تَعَالَوْ يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Come, the Messenger of Allah will ask forgiveness for you. لَوَوْ رُؤُسَهُمْ. They shake their heads. وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ يَسُدُّونَ وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. They turn back their heads and you may see them turning away while they are big with pride. In other words, they are so filled up with pride. سواء عليهم استغفرت لهم أم لم تستغفر لهم. It is alike to them whether you ask forgiveness for them or you do not ask forgiveness for them. لن يغفر الله لهم. Allah will never forgive them. إن الله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah does not guide people who transgress. So in other words, they don't believe that they're ever wrong. They have an excuse for what is happening to them. There's always an excuse they have. Let's go a little further. Ayah 7. هم الذين يقولون لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا ولله خزائن السماوات والأرض ولكن المنافقون لا يفقهون. They it is who say, do not spend upon those who are with the Messenger of Allah until they break up. They don't realize that Allah's are the treasures of the heavens and the earth, but the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, do not understand. Now this ayah tells us they're always trying to divide a community, and they threaten with wealth, power, ability, anything to break them up, but they don't understand that everything, in essence, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at the next ayah. يَقُولُونَ, they say, لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ. If we return to Medina, the mighty will surely drive out the meaner therefrom. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. To Allah belongs the might, to Allah belongs honor, and to His Messenger, and to the believers. But the hypocrites just do not know. In other words, they look down upon the mu'mineen. They see religion as weak, as hakir, as a sign of weakness. And then the three ayah that are a warning. It says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ عَامَنُوا أَوْ يُوهُ بِلِيفِ لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Do not let your wealth or your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whoever does this is definitely one of the losers. And then Allah says, وَأَنْفِكُ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. And spend out. In other words, do the best you can to reach your full potential in the way of Allah before death comes to one of you. So that he may not say, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَقْرْتَنِي لَعَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Respite me to a near term. Wife, as-sadaqah, so that I may give alms, so that I may do sadaqah, wa akum min as-salihin, and I should be of one who does good or good deeds. And Allah says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah does not respite a soul when its appointed term has come. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is aware of what you do. Realization comes at death. Sometimes we're so busy with day-to-day life that we forget to prepare for the akhirah. We're too busy to prioritize the most important things until it's too late. And therefore, we've got to have time management in our lives. We need to ask ourselves, how much time can I accord to be able to do something for the Akhirah? We should have an aim that everything we do at least has a thread for the Akhirah. Because nifaq is not going to take us anywhere. It's a dead, sealed heart. Inshallah, we shall continue at looking at the other hearts as we go along, so that we can reach Qalb Salim.